We had a list of about eight or nine names, and we went to the first five. Okay. And, you know, and I always thought, you know, if these five aren't good, we'll go to the next three guys. That's why.
What was your reaction when you heard that was the reason why he didn't want to talk during that wild card week?
Just his character. I mean, that's a testament to his character. You know, Doug Peterson told me, he said, and I'm close with Doug. All the way from, you know, back in Kansas City, we were together 3 years. And Doug said, Chris, you're not going to find a better character man, a better teammate, a better leader in front of the room than Frank Ryan.
Did you communicate with him? I know you gave an update last week about Andrew Luck, but what did you communicate with him about Andrew Luck, and what was that conversation like? I mean, that's got to be maybe a question that comes up from everybody.
To be honest with you, Frank never asked. I had to volunteer it at the end. I said, okay, let me give you an update of where we're at. And he was good. He didn't ask. He didn't ask one time about Andrew.
What does that tell you? That, on the one hand, it's kind of a clueless way to go about it. On the other hand, it shows
a very confident man that he can get it done. He just did it with Nick. And Nick Foles is a good player. I was with Nick Foles in Kansas City. Nick Foles is a good player, but they lose their franchise quarterback, and they don't miss a beat. And that shows me a man that's very confident in his ability to develop and coach the quarterback position and develop an offense that can move with whoever's under center.
I just want to make sure I get this right. What you were saying is it sounds like he was on your list.
Yeah.
But you didn't fail to interview him early because he went dark. He just wasn't in your first five.
Not in our first five. That's correct.
We're very honest to say that because you right now you could fall back on, he was dark. And
no,
good
I
for you,
do.
Chris Ballard.
Have y'all been around me long enough?
Right. But if you were ever going to lie, this was the time to do it.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Why he wasn't in your top five, Chris? What separated him from that five?
You know, I've thought a lot about that, too. I thought about it after I got done interviewing him, and I go, my Lord, what was I thinking? I don't know. You talk to people. You make your list. You don't panic. Like, the one thing I think we do, and I said this last week, the timelines that we put on thing and the panic that we get, there's good coaches out there. And I think if you look at the history of any of the coaching hires, it doesn't matter if you're first or if you're last. It's about getting it right. At the end of the day, it's about getting it right. And we got it right.
Chris, I know you talked about Andrew last week. Do you anticipate him to start throwing anytime soon, going out to L.A.? Do you have any update on Andrew?
No update, any different than last week.
Chris, what was the biggest lesson out of this whole process for you? I mean, it's the first time you've done it.
Yes.
And, you know, you talked about sitting with Frank and realizing, man, how did I miss this? But what was the big lesson out of this, if there was one particular one? Probably.
No, there's a bunch. Things work out. When you do things right, when you're honest, things work out.
Was there one particular moment or anything that Frank said or that somebody else said that kind of tipped the scales in his direction?
All three, you know, we had a bunch of good interviews, but our vision matched in terms of about people, about process, about the way we wanted to play the game, both offensively and defensively. And that's hard to find. I mean, like, a lot of times you'll see GM head coaches, when they're not on the same page philosophically, it's hard to make it work.
Yeah, we saw that.
And you've got to – look, I'm not a coach anymore. But I do have a vision of the way I want us to play. And I think if you'd ask any GM and head coach in this league, if they're not on the same page in terms of their vision, it's not going to work. Because now you're going to be drafting players that don't fit the scheme. And that's hard. That's difficult.
Why did you decide to go to a 4-3?
I think it fits. I've been in the 3-4 now the last, I don't know, since Kansas City, so the last five seasons. We had a lot of success with it in Chicago and fell in love with the defense, know how to scout it. Y'all played it here before. I think it fits our indoor surface. I don't want to say this for a fact, but I don't know if a 3-4 team's ever won a Super Bowl. And it fits our indoor surface. It fits what the league's going to now. We have athletic quarterbacks in our division that we're going to have athletic players with speed to be able to chase those guys down.
I'm thinking Steelers, but
Yeah. But they're an outdoor team.
Okay.
Indoor team.
All
right. Yeah.
Last question.
The story goes you heard from Polian, Tony Dungy about this. What did that do to gauge your interest or your how this was going to go at the end?
Well, look, you're talking about two Hall of Fame people.
Right.
Not just as their positions in the GM and head coach, also people. And when they started talking about his character as a man, that's what people follow. People follow people with character. So they both weighed heavily in, and I listened.